Invite you to remain standing as we have our Old and New Testament readings this morning. Our Old Testament reading is from Isaiah chapter 40. Isaiah chapter 40, verses 1 through 5. Comfort my people, says your God. Speak tenderly to Jerusalem and cry to her that her warfare is ended, that her iniquity is pardoned, that she has received from the Lord's hand double for all her sins. A voice cries in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord. Make straight in the desert a highway for our God. Every valley shall be lifted up, and every mountain shall be made low. And the uneven ground shall become level, and the rough places a plain. And the glory of the Lord shall be revealed, and all flesh shall see it together, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken. Our New Testament reading is from Luke chapter 2. Now our passage this morning, our reading will be from Luke 22 to 38, but specifically we'll be focusing on verses 25 through 35. And just a little background before we read this here, as I'm sure we're very familiar with the story. These verses occur at the climax of the birth narrative in the Gospel of Luke. Up to this point, Luke has told the story of faithful Israelites that are looking for the Messiah. And in the birth announcements of John the Baptist and Jesus, we saw Elizabeth and Mary's joy in the coming Messiah. Mary breaks out in that Spirit-inspired song that we read in our call to worship as she visits Elizabeth. She proclaims the Lord's covenant faithfulness as He remembers God's promises to Israel and Abraham so long ago. And after the birth of John, his father Zechariah proclaims that the Lord has visited His people. And at the birth of Jesus, the heavenly choir sings, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those with whom He is pleased. So now, with that in our minds, as Mary and Joseph come to Jerusalem to present Jesus before the temple, at the temple we meet another faithful Israelite who's waiting and looking for the Christ and proclaims wonderful things. And his name is Simeon. So Luke chapter 2, verses 22 through 38. And when the time came for their purification according to the law of Moses, they brought him up to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. As it is written in the law of the Lord, every male who first opens the womb shall be called holy to the Lord. And to offer a sacrifice according to what is said in the law of the Lord, a pair of turtle doves or two young pigeons. Now there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon, and this man was righteous and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was upon him. And it had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. And he came in the Spirit into the temple, and when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him according to the custom of the law, he took him up in his arms and blessed God and said, Lord, now you are letting your servant depart in peace according to your word. For my eyes have seen your salvation that you have prepared in the presence of all peoples, a light for revelation to the Gentiles, and for glory to your people Israel. And his father and mother marveled at what was said about him. And Simeon blessed them and said to Mary his mother, behold, this child is appointed for the fall and rising of many in Israel, and for a sign that is opposed, and a sword will pierce through your own soul also, so the thoughts from many hearts may be revealed. And there was a prophetess, Anna, the daughter of Phanuel of the tribe of Asher. She was advanced in years, having lived with her husband 7 years from when she was a virgin, and then as a widow until she was 84. She did not depart from the temple, worshiping with fasting and prayer night and day. And coming up at that very hour, she began to give thanks to God and to speak of him to all who were waiting for the redemption of Jerusalem. The grass withers and the flower fades, but the word of our Lord endures forever. Let's pray together. Lord God, we would just ask at this Christmas morning, we wish to see Jesus Christ. By your Spirit's power, give us eyes this morning to behold his glory. Through Christ we pray. Amen. You may be seated. Now, the last year before I went to seminary, I was a teacher for a long time. The last year, one of the things I taught to the sixth graders was ancient history. And as you can imagine, most of the sixth graders thought that ancient history was pretty boring and irrelevant. And the authors of the textbook we used knew this as well. So in order to try to attempt to engage the students in that topic for each chapter, they would tell them a little bit about ancient life in the ancient world, what everyday life would be like. And we had these audio CDs that went along with it. And at the beginning of the chapter, a female narrator would speak these words, "You are there." Now, after a few chapters, we found this pretty humorous, and it became an inside joke in our classroom. But the author of the textbook had a good idea. He was trying to transport the students back in time in their imagination to see what it was like in the ancient world. And in some ways, this is what we want to do when we look at our passage as well. But for us, it's more than just imagining that you're there. It's more than just trying to visualize the scene. Oftentimes, these Christmas passages, these birth narrative passages, are so familiar to us that we've lost that joy of sense and wonder as we read them. And we read them like my sixth graders read their history books. A story about someone else a long time ago, perhaps in a galaxy far, far away. But the Bible has something infinitely more profound to say to us than imagine you were there. Instead, the Bible says to us, you were there. These events were and did occur for ancient Israel. And they were written down for Luke's audience, and they're written down for all those who Christ came to save. This is not just an ancient inspired story. It's more than that. This story is not just something that happened to someone else a long time ago. This story is our story, and this story is our history. In our culture, we're so individualistic that we often miss out on one of these great wonders of Scripture. That it's not just a cute story about the baby Jesus. It's a story about us. We are the ones who God prepared salvation for in history. We are the ones for whom Christ was born. We should see Simeon and Anna as our spiritual great-grandparents who beheld the glory of the Messiah. So when we hear the Christmas story as something that we're a part of then, that occurred for us instead of something that happened to someone else, our sense of joy and amazement again is freshly rekindled in our hearts. And the joy of those in this passage is our joy, because we have also been looking for the Lord's Christ, and He has found us. This is your story. And as we look at this passage, we'll see over and over again that there is great joy in embracing the Lord's Christ. And our theme, that's our theme this morning, there is great joy in embracing the Lord's Christ. And we'll look at Simeon's experience in the temple under three headings. Looking for the Lord's Christ. Embracing the Lord's Christ. And marveling at the Lord's Christ. So Mary and Joseph brought Jesus to the temple in order to present him to the Lord and to offer sacrifices according to what was written in the law of Moses. And while they're there, they meet a man named Simeon, who's a spirit-filled, faithful Israelite who's looking for the Lord's Christ. In verse 25, now there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. And this man was righteous and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was upon him. Now in the ESV here at the beginning of verse 25, we begin with the word now. But that same word in Greek can also be translated, behold. Behold, something exciting is about to happen here. Joseph and Mary have a divine appointment with a man named Simeon. He's not a priest. He's not the high priest. He's not a person of importance. He's just a man. However, he is righteous and devout. And evidence of his dedication to the Lord is that he's looking and waiting for the consolation of Israel. Now, that sounds like a complicated phrase. It really isn't. The consolation, you console someone. It's the comfort of Israel. The comfort of Israel is the coming of the Messiah. And there are several Old Testament passages that point to the Messiah as the comfort of Israel, but the clearest is perhaps our Old Testament reading from Isaiah 40, especially verses 1 and 2. We read, "Comfort, comfort my people, says your God. Speak tenderly to Jerusalem and cry to her that her warfare is ended, that her iniquity is pardoned." So Simeon is waiting for God to fulfill his promise, to comfort his people, to forgive their sins, and to put an end to Israel's warfare. He's a representative of every faithful Israelite man that was looking for the Messiah. And just after our passage, Anna is a representative of every faithful Israelite woman that was looking for the Messiah. Now we're focusing on Simeon today, but in these two characters, we have representatives of both the faithful men and women of Israel looking for the Messiah. Now Simeon has this messianic hope because the Spirit of God had created faith in his heart and was upon him. And not only has the Holy Spirit worked in Simeon, but he gave him a very special revelation. And that's in verse 26. "And it had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ." The Holy Spirit told Simeon that he would live until he saw Jesus, the Lord's Christ. That meant for Simeon that the day of Christ, the day of salvation, was coming soon. Israel's long wait would be over. They had waited hundreds of years since their return from Babylon, and that wait was coming to an end. Now we see this term, the Lord's Christ. This means the Lord's anointed one. Referring to Jesus in this specific way in the New Testament only happens in this verse. The Lord's anointed one, that same phrase, is also used of King Saul. King Saul was separated out from the rest of Israel for a specific purpose, to be her king. Well, this would now be Jesus Christ. Jesus is set apart by God the Father for the express purpose of bringing about the salvation of Israel and all peoples. Simeon's and Israel's wait is now over. The Messiah is here, is what the Holy Spirit is telling Simeon. This passage, and I hope you can feel it and hear it, is absolutely saturated and dripping with anticipation. Now, children, Simeon is really, really excited about what's coming. Have you ever been really, really excited for something? Perhaps something that occurred yesterday at your house or today? And you waited. I mean, some of you had little calendars and counted down and you just couldn't wait. Well, that's what anticipation and looking forward to something is. And adults, perhaps we were anticipating the end of this season. But we also know there's a lot of things going on at the house. But we also know what anticipation is, whether it was, you know, waiting to graduate, a long engagement, waiting for that wedding day. Perhaps you hadn't seen a family member for a long time and they were finally coming in a month or two. But the anticipation that Simeon experienced is far greater than anything we could possibly describe here this morning. See, Israel had been waiting for this holy child since the promise in Genesis 3:15. And ever since that promise in Genesis 3:15, there has been a war going on ever since. The seed of the woman has been battling against the seed of the serpent. And now, after all these years, Simeon has been told that victory day is coming in his lifetime. That this war is coming to an end. Simeon knows that peace on earth and goodwill toward all men is coming and coming soon. And again, this is a good time to remind us that this is not just biblical history, but this is our history. Luke puts an everyday Israelite here to announce the coming of the Lord. The Spirit of God worked faith in his heart and promised him that he would see the Messiah. And again, it is hard to imagine Simeon's excitement, knowing that he was coming so near to the Lord's Christ. As exciting as this was, Christians, we live in an even more exciting time than Simeon. Because what was promised to Simeon, we have already received. The Spirit of God has also worked in you. He's led you to that true temple, Jesus Christ. He has removed the scales from your eyes and enabled you also to see Jesus. Israel and Simeon waited a long time to see the Messiah. But we don't have to wait because He has come. Now some of us can't help but wonder what it must have been like to actually see the infant Jesus. Some of us might even think that, you know, if I would have just been there, if I would have just seen Jesus, then maybe my faith would be stronger. But our Lord Jesus tells us in John chapter 20, "Blessed are those who have not seen and have yet believed." We actually have a better view of Jesus Christ and who He is and what He came to do than Simeon did on that day. Simeon saw Jesus at the very beginning of His earthly ministry, and we now see Jesus as our risen Lord who already has accomplished everything that Simeon was waiting for. Our God is a promise-keeping God. He promised Simeon would see the Messiah, and Simeon saw Him that day. And now we walk by faith, but we also have a promise from God. In Matthew chapter 5, the Lord Jesus tells us that we will see God, that there is a day coming soon when we'll see our Lord Jesus face to face, and not with these weak eyes, but with perfect vision. We will see Jesus. Like Simeon, this is something that gives us hope. And it encourages us as pilgrims along the way. Simeon eagerly waited for the first coming of the Lord. And we eagerly await our Lord's return. Like Simeon, we are also even now looking for the return of the Lord's Christ. Now in verses 27 and 28, we see God's promise to Simeon is fulfilled in a way even better than he could possibly imagine. And God is always better than we could ever possibly imagine. He doesn't only allow Simeon to see Jesus, but Simeon is allowed to embrace Him. And he responds to God's faithfulness with a Spirit-inspired blessing, which we'll read in a few moments. So in verses 27 and 28, we read, "And he came in the Spirit into the temple. And when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him, according to the custom of the law, he took him up in his arms and blessed God." The Spirit of God led both Simeon and our Lord's family to the same place in the temple courtyard on the same day at the same exact time. This was truly a divine appointment and one that Simeon was expecting, but that caught Mary and Joseph by surprise. When Simeon sees the infant Messiah, he recognizes him immediately, and with great joy, he takes the Messiah up in his arms. The Lord is so good. He didn't only allow Simeon to see the Messiah from a distance, he didn't only get to touch the Messiah, but he was holding him and embracing him in his very arms. What an incredible moment this must have been. Simeon found himself looking eye to eye with the one who he knew was the consolation of Israel, the light to the Gentiles, and the glory of Israel. Now we can picture Simeon holding the Savior in his arms as he breaks into this Spirit-inspired blessing. And one commentator captures this moment by saying, "Simeon's heart was surcharged with gratitude to such an extent that before his father's throne, he poured out his ardent thanksgiving." I like that. His heart was surcharged with gratitude. The result is a song that we refer to as the Nunc Dimittis, or some just call the Nunc for short. It's a song that the Christian church has been singing for hundreds and maybe even thousands of years. It's a song about the long-expected wait for the Messiah being over. And we find this song in verses 29 through 32. Lord, now you are letting your servant depart in peace according to your word. For my eyes have seen your salvation, that you have prepared in the presence of all peoples, a light for the revelation to the Gentiles and for glory to your people, Israel. Simeon's long wait, faithful Israel's long wait is over. God fulfilled his promise to Simeon and he saw the Messiah. Now he could depart in peace because he knew that warfare was coming to an end, just as Isaiah prophesied. Simeon explains the foundation of his peace in this song of blessing. The reasons for Simeon's peace is that the promised salvation that has been prepared in the presence of all the people, been prepared publicly in the birth of Christ, this salvation has come. The history of redemption and how it plays out, that's the mystery that the angels, as Paul said, longed to look into. The mystery has been prepared in history as God publicly rescued his people from Egypt, brought them into Canaan, and now sends his son to bring about the rescue of Israel and all nations. All of history was divinely prepared for this one moment, the coming of Christ. And for Simeon, the moment had arrived. This moment is the climax of all of history. Jesus is a light of revelation to the Gentiles and for the glory of Israel. Salvation has finally come to save all people from their sins. Isaiah 40 verse 5 says, "And the glory of the Lord shall be revealed, and all flesh shall see it together, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken." The Gentiles are no longer in the darkness, as Jesus Christ, the light of the world, has come. The glory of Israel in the past was a visible presence of God. That Shekinah glory or glory cloud that guided Israel in the wilderness, that dwelled in that tabernacle or that temple, and that departed and went with Israel into exile, is now come in Jesus Christ, as he tabernacles and dwells in the very midst of Israel. And as Simeon embraces the Lord's Christ, he's not just holding an infant. He's holding the very Lord of glory in his arms, the one that would bring peace and salvation to all the nations. The Lord of glory in his arms. That's who he was embracing. Now the Lord, again, doesn't just allow Simeon to see the Messiah from a distance, but he allows him to embrace the baby Jesus. And as he held him, he knew that one day that infant Messiah would grow up to be a conquering Messiah. And he knew that one day that conquering Messiah would be holding him. Christians, that's our comfort. And we have an even greater joy and comfort than Simeon. What a comfort it is to know that the risen Lord Jesus holds us in his arms. And that like Simeon, the Holy Spirit enables us to embrace him as our Lord and Savior. There's great joy in clinging to Christ. But an even greater joy that he embraces all sinners who repent and believe in him and trust in him for their salvation. Friends, I do want to ask you, have you embraced the Messiah? Have you embraced the Lord's Christ? Have you embraced Jesus today? Like Simeon and the parents of Jesus, it is not chance that you are sitting here. It is by divine appointment. It's not just a random event that places you here today. You're here to hear about the work of the Holy Spirit in the heart of Simeon. He gave Simeon the gift of faith and enabled him to embrace the Messiah. Friends, Christ is held before you this morning. Trust him. Embrace him. Love him. Repent of your sins and believe so that you might also experience the joy that Simeon experienced as he looked upon and held the Messiah. Now, the overall mood of this passage, then, we can tell, is great joy. And it's marveling at the Lord's Christ. The coming of the long-awaited Messiah brings great joy. But in our passage, we also see that it brings conflict and that it brings suffering. In verses 33 through 35, Simeon turns his attention from praising the Lord to give a blessing to Mary and Joseph. And then his blessing is followed by some somber words, especially for Mary. Verses 24 and 25, or 34, sorry, 34 and 35 read, "And Simeon blessed them and said to his mother, 'Behold, this child is appointed for the fall and rising of many in Israel, and for a sign that is opposed. And a sword will pierce through your own soul also, so that thoughts from many hearts may be revealed.'" Now in verse 35, again, if you have an ESV, it puts something in parentheses there. It puts, "And a sword will pierce through your side also." The ESV kind of takes this as an interruption or a side to the main thought. But in some other translations, they smooth this out and they move it to the end of the sentence. And if we do this, I think we can understand these verses a little better. And if you do that, it reads like this: "Behold, this child is appointed for the fall and rising of many in Israel, and for a sign that is opposed, so that thoughts from many hearts may be revealed." Jesus is to be the fall and rising of many in Israel, a sign opposed, revealing thoughts and hearts. So Joseph and Mary are standing here in amazement that a stranger has recognized the Messiah and said incredible words about him. And then Simeon blesses Joseph and Mary, and then speaking directly to Mary, he speaks a two-part prophecy to her. The first part of his prophecy is regarding the effect that Jesus will have at Israel. And the second is a prophecy of heartbreak that she would one day have to endure. Up to this point, again, everything's been joy, joy, joy. But now Simeon reveals that salvation will not be accomplished peacefully. Salvation will involve the overturning of many in Israel and personal pain for Mary. Jesus is appointed for the purpose of division of the people of Israel. Jesus is going to be a stumbling block for them. We read of this in Isaiah chapter 8, verses 14 and 15, that explains this. "And he, being Jesus, will become a sanctuary and a stone of offense and a rock of stumbling to both houses of Israel, a trap and a snare to the inhabitants of Jerusalem. And many shall stumble upon it. They shall fall and be broken. They shall be snared and taken." So to faithful Israel, then, Jesus is a sanctuary, a safe place. But to unfaithful Israel, he is an offense and a cause for stumbling. The coming of the Messiah would cause faithful Israel to rise and unfaithful Israel to fall. And Jesus is not only a sign that will be rejected, he's a sign that's going to cause much contention and conflict. And it's clear through our Lord's earthly ministry that he does bring comfort to those poor in spirit, but he also rebukes those religious leaders of Israel. And Mary herself here would not be without pain. Simeon says to her, "A sword will pierce through your own soul also." Mary would witness her own son die a most painful death. Her heart would be broken more than we can ever know or understand as she saw her son hanging on the tree. So our passage proclaims this: the Messiah has come, but the road to glory would be one of intense conflict and suffering. And not just for the Messiah, but for those who would love him. When we see Simeon's joy and we reflect on the salvation that has come in Christ, we're also filled with joy and we marvel. Not just as what is said about Christ, but about what has been accomplished for us. In history, God worked out his plan of salvation for us. He orchestrated all the events in history to prepare the world for this one moment, the moment of joy, when Jesus Christ would come into the world. He would come into the world to comfort sinners and to end the cosmic battle between the seed of the woman and the seed of the serpent. And we've seen that we have an advantage over Simeon because we know how the story ends. The story ends with Jesus Christ conquering sin, death, and hell for us. We've seen that we have a fuller picture of joy even than Simeon did. and for Jesus to accomplish salvation for us, He suffered and brought division to a people whom He loved. And the people whom Jesus loved the most and who loved Him experienced great anguish along the way. This road of suffering to glory is not just the road of our Savior, but it's also our road as His disciples. We follow in our Savior's footsteps. We drink His cup and participate in the suffering of Christ. Our road is also one of suffering to future glory. This does help us remember not to be too surprised or taken aback when we experience suffering in the world, especially for the cause of Christ. We know this is coming, and this is part of the prophecy that Simeon gave to Mary is also being fulfilled in our lives as well as those who love Jesus and continue to suffer. But in the midst of this suffering, though, we cling to the joy that the passage has to offer. We take comfort that the Holy Spirit has done a great work in us and has fulfilled His promise of salvation. That the consolation and glory of Israel has come. That the Lord Jesus Christ came to accomplish everything for us. Forgiveness of sins, dwelling with God. And we can have peace like Simeon, knowing that our warfare has ended. In this passage, we've seen our story reflected in the story of Simeon as an everyday Israelite. That the Spirit of God enabled him to look for the Messiah. The Spirit of God has enabled us also to see the Messiah and to embrace the Lord Jesus. And even more than that, to know that the Lord Jesus now embraces you. That's why He was made man. That's why the Word became flesh, so that He might be able to embrace us. This is our comfort. This is what we marvel at. And it's with this peace that we can now go making the song of Simeon our own as we go out into the world to serve our Lord, saying, Lord, let Your servant now depart in everlasting peace. My eyes have seen salvation's hope. My heart is now at ease, for You've prepared a radiant light, the darkness to dispel, to lead the peoples in Your ways and shine on Israel. Let's pray. Father, we thank You so much for the consolation of Israel, for the Lord Jesus. Lord, help us to embrace Him as He embraces us. Lord, help us to never get tired of this story, but to see this as our story. And may Your Word help us to learn more and more about our Savior and to love Him more and more every day. In our Savior's name we pray. Amen.